Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Grant Gubbison of Union Gaming. He is the gaming expert for all of Asia, and he lives in Macau. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Schaff, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Schaff.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to be joined by Grant Gubbison. He is the Asian expert for Union Gaming. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've been reading your work for so many years and, you know, looking at Macau and the growth of Macau and what's happening right now, which is it seems to me that Macau is on another giant spurt forward.
It is. You know, after a couple-year downturn, not only from a gaming revenue and profits perspective, but certainly from the perspective of the shares of these publicly traded companies, you know, they were in the dumps for a couple years. But now we're finally back in the growth mode for, you know, a couple quarters now with the mass market segment actually growing, call it 9 months now, and VIP finally catching a tailwind. So we're moving in the right direction, and everybody feels a lot better about the future of Macau and the future of the stocks in particular.
Are you seeing less of a crackdown? Because that was causing a lot of problems in the VIP segment.
It certainly was. So Xi Jinping out of mainland China, his anti-corruption campaign was probably the single largest factor in the downturn. That has been going on for, call it, 3 years now. And I think we finally reached a place where the average wealthy individual in China, if you will, is feeling a little bit more comfortable about his situation and is, you know, kind of putting his toe back in the water and saying, okay, you know, I survived the last 3 years. I didn't get in trouble. I think it's okay for me to start going back to my, you know, previous behavior, if you will, which includes going to Macau. And so, you know, talking to the casino operators in Macau, they certainly are finally seeing familiar faces after a multi-year absence. Now, it's not the biggest fish or the biggest whales, if you will. I think they're still on the sidelines, but a lot of the, you know, mid-level, if you will, VIPs are finally coming back. And that is certainly an indication that the anti-corruption campaign, while not over, is certainly lessening in its severity.
Was that gaming money going to other countries?
I would say only at the margin was that VIP money finding another outlet. You know, clearly there was some amount going to places like the Philippines or to Cambodia. But if you look at the GGR story, the VIP GGR story, gaming revenue story, in many of these other jurisdictions, like Singapore, for instance, or even Las Vegas, it went down too. So it was really a worldwide crackdown, if you will, on Chinese VIP players.
It seems that Macau, the intent of gaming in Macau is to create more integrated resorts, have more different things for people to do, not just gambling. But they're going to be in a way that Las Vegas expanded, which is into all these other things, entertainment, shopping, recreation.
Absolutely. And you are seeing some amount of familiar concepts that you also see in the Las Vegas Strip. You're seeing those pop up in Macau. I think the main difference being, the primary customer to Macau is still laser-focused or hyper-focused on gambling and not so much on the non-gaming. You know, for instance, nobody really cares about nightclubs in Macau, whereas in Las Vegas, that's one of the biggest reasons you come here. Certainly, for a lot of people, that trumps gaming as a reason to come here, and that just isn't the case. So I think what you're still seeing in Macau is, you know, call it a single digit, maybe 7-8% of revenues are non-gaming versus 62% in Las Vegas. So it's got a long ways to go, even though the physical plants, if you will, are starting to look a lot more and feel a lot more like Vegas. The customer needs to change.
So are you seeing those businesses? You know, because I've heard from a friend who works with hotels in China, that a lot of hotels are trying to create these high-end Italian and other cuisine restaurants in their hotels. And they're all set up. They have all the waiters and the captains and the food and everything. And there's no customers.
You know, that's not uncommon. And even in Macau, you know, while you do get patronage of the nice restaurants, the busiest restaurant is always invariably going to be the, you know, the noodle shop that's right off of the casino floor, where you can get a bowl of noodles for the equivalent of a few dollars, and in this time span of 10 or 15 minutes. That's what the customer wants. And you're right, absolutely. You get these gorgeous, you know, Michelin restaurants, which you don't even need a reservation for half the time, because you can just walk up and there you go. Because gamblers just, they don't want to take the time.
The pricing of the hotels in Macau seems to be on very much the high side.
You know, it was, I would say. If you turn the clock back to the pre-downturn, so 2014 and earlier, it would be hard to get a room for, say, under 300 U.S., or that was pretty typical. And I think that priced a lot of customers out of the market, especially the lower-end mass-market customers. What we've seen as a result of not only the downturn, but a significant increase in new supply in Macau, because remember, all six of the licensees are building at least one new property, four of which have already opened. You know, there's just an abundance of supply right now. And so what was a $300 room, it's not uncommon now to find it for $100. And so Macau is, quote unquote, on sale. And you're seeing actually a lot of the lower end mass market customers respond in kind, saying, hey, I can go back to Macau and actually stay overnight. Whereas in the past, if I came to Macau, it was a day trip because I just didn't want to spend that kind of money on a hotel. But now they can.
Are the new properties bringing new customers versus cannibalizing the customers they already have?
It's a little bit of both. You know, if you strip out the impact of new supply, revenues are more or less flat at the legacy properties. There's obviously several ways to cut it, but I think it's a little bit of both. So all the growth is generally being consumed by the new properties while the legacies are maintaining. But there's obviously a lot of moving parts within that. And I think, you know, as operators open, for instance, Steve Wynn opened Wynn Palace last August, and there was an immediate cannibalization of his property in the peninsula. That seems to be unwinding. And in fact, no operator in Macau is, you know, seeing greater market share gains than Steve Wynn today. And so that's kind of, but, you know, you're obviously going to see these market share shifts or cannibalization on a short-term basis.
And Wynn complains that if it weren't for the construction outside of his property, the gains would be even greater.
I think that's true to an extent. The reality is Steve Wynn builds an incredible property that's generally focused more at a higher-end consumer, whether that's here in Las Vegas or in Macau. And so the walk-in, that walk-up customer, isn't necessarily the bread and butter, I think, of a Wynn property. Although, yes, if the construction were to go away in front of Wynn Palace, yes, there absolutely would be greater amount of foot traffic, and that would be contributing to the bottom line. I don't think it would, you know, materially, you know, be cause to change earnings estimates, but I think it'll certainly be helpful.
All right, now let me ask you about the bridge that's under construction from Hong Kong to Macau. When's that scheduled to be completed?
Last year, but you know, such a massive infrastructure project, complex infrastructure project, takes time. You know, there are some who are saying it can still happen at the end of this year, although I'd probably take the over on that. I think at some point in 2018 it should open. Now, living there and watching it, you can actually, you know, you're going on the ferry between Hong Kong and Macau, you can see it, and it's effectively done. The bridge is there. They're still working on kind of the ends of it and the immigration facilities on either end of the bridge. And I think there's probably a few spots on the actual bridge itself that need to be done. But anyways, I think it's a 2018 event. The impact to Macau, though, is probably longer than that. You know, most people probably think, you know, especially those who don't live there, oh, okay, great. The bridge opens. Now Hong Kong people are just going to jump in their car and drive to Macau. That's not the case. I think for most Hong Kong residents, it'll still be easier, if not quicker, to still take the boat.
Really? Because it's an hour journey, right?
It is an hour journey, but the reality is the bridge actually starts at the Hong Kong airport, which, of course, is connected via highway to Hong Kong Island. But if you were to drive your car, it would still take probably about the same amount of time, not to mention we don't even know what the rules are yet. Will private cars be allowed to go between the two? I mean, they certainly, if you're driving from Hong Kong and you're allowed to take your car on the bridge, you will not be allowed to drive it into Macau because Macau is already bursting at the seams. So they're not going to allow private cars on the roadway. So I think the bridge ultimately becomes a bigger driver of MICE, right? Meetings, incentives, conventions. And that's great if you're Sands, right? Because that, Sheldon Adelson has built the Venetian with a massive, massive exhibition space, which generally has been underutilized. And I think the bridge, though, is a game changer for MICE. So once that opens, if you're a conference planner, all of a sudden Macau becomes a lot more like Las Vegas in that it's got the infrastructure now to handle massive exhibitions and conventions. And, you know, all other things being equal, I think a lot of these Asian conference planners would want to hold their conference in Macau because who doesn't want to go to a casino and see all the nightlife and the entertainment, much like Las Vegas, why it's become such a major convention, you know, destination. So I think, but again, that takes time, right? These long conventions take 2, 3, 4 years to wind off their contract. Right. So maybe it's a 2020 event before we really see the impact of the bridge.
All right, let's take a break. More with Grant Govetz, and fascinating interview right after this.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have 279-inch high-def TVs, 1265-inch high-def TVs, including 2 party booths for your own private party, and 6 high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Grant Govetson. He lives in Macau, and he covers pretty much all of Asia for Union Gaming. Looking at stock prices, Wynn obviously has been doing phenomenally lately. What is the key driver for Wynn's stock price increase?
Sure, that's absolutely right. The Wynn stock, both Wynn Resorts here in the U.S. and then Wynn Macau, the Hong Kong listing, have been on a tear. And that's really just been driven by what has turned out to be significant market share gains and significant earnings growth out of Macau for Wynn. When the property Wynn Palace opened, I think there was at least some initial investor disappointment there in that the ramping, if you will, the property was a little bit slower than expectations. However, by the fourth quarter, then certainly the first quarter, Wynn Palace had turned the corner really quick and is just taking significant share in Macau. And, of course, Wynn today is the largest market share grower in that market, and the stocks are just the stock here and in Hong Kong is responding accordingly.
Watching Las Vegas Sands, which, of course, in Las Vegas owns the Venetian and Palazzo, but a ton of properties in Macau and also one of the two large resorts in Singapore, their stock price went from, I believe it was $140 before the recession, down to $3. Sheldon Adelson put in $1 billion of his own money. Now the stock hovers around $60. I'm surprised that it has not risen, you know, to a higher level. What are shareholders looking at?
Sure. Well, I mean, to be fair to Sands, though, you know, forget about the 2008 recession for a minute. But then, if you look at the more recent downturn in Macau, which really, whether it was Wynn or MGM or Sands or Melco or Galaxy or SJM at the Hong Kong listings, all of them just came plummeting down to earth as a result of the slowdown in Macau. All of them have recovered, some more than others. You know, I would argue that Sands has actually recovered very nicely from the 2014, you know, downturn, if you will. The thing with Sands, though, is that they've built such an amazing mousetrap in Macau. They're this mass market juggernaut, but it takes a lot more for them to move the needle. I mean, you look at their operations in Macau alone, and they're going to generate the better part of $2.5 billion in EBITDA, you know, another, call it $1.5 billion or something like that in Singapore. For them, layering on an additional property, in this case the Parisian in Macau, you know, it isn't as transformational as it is for an operator like Wynn, who's opening only the second property, so more than doubling his supply in Macau, whereas Sands already has, you know, 12,000 hotel rooms or something like that. So bringing on 3,000 more doesn't necessarily move the needle as much. So I think that's, you know, kind of the delta there.
And they lost out at one point with having the ability to build, what, two of the resorts that they had originally planned?
Yeah. I mean, there were some issues there. And so then the government, you know, has taken back, if you will, the land. Look, the reality, though, is no operator in Macau has as much supply, especially in room count, which I think is going to be the most important thing going forward, than Sands. And so, you know, when we think about the world, you know, and investing in these stocks, I mean, no company is in a better position in Asia than Sands, period. You know, especially in Macau, when you think about how the government, whether it's the China government or Macau, is endorsing mass market as the future of Macau. They don't want VIP to rule the day. They want mass market. They want Macau to be for everybody. And literally no operator is in a better position than Sands to capture an outsized share of that mass market customer for the foreseeable future. So that one's, you know, that's a no-brainer.
All right, let's take a break. More with Grant Govetson when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Grant Govetson. He rules Asia for Union Gaming. And fascinating stories for people that are clients of Union Gaming. Let's talk about Singapore. So Las Vegas Sands obviously doing fabulous there. Why is Genting having issues? And they're the company that's going to build Resorts World in Las Vegas.
That's right, just across the street from Wynn here in Las Vegas. Now, it's funny that you characterize Genting Singapore as having issues, and I don't think that's unfair necessarily, but it's kind of humorous insofar as they're still generating nearly $800 million in EBITDA, which is only half roughly of what Sands is doing. So, but in any other market, an $800 million property is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the most successful properties in the world, yet it's dwarfed, if you will, by Marina Bay Sands. And so, but quite frankly, like I think that, you know, Marina Bay, it's a better location. It's a better asset, right? It's iconic looking. Everybody wants
Stunning.
To go there. The sky deck, the sky pool, it's amazing, right? They literally redefined the skyline of Singapore, whereas Resorts World Sentosa, Genting's project, it's a low-rise project away from downtown. There are height restrictions, all kinds of things like that. So they couldn't, even if they wanted to, build a project like Marina Bay. And so that's hampered them. And I think, quite frankly, you know, Sands is probably, you know, one of the most savvy gaming operators out there, period. And that helps, too.
Genting has Universal Studios there as part of their complex.
They do. They do. And it actually is wildly popular. And, you know, one of the most heavily, you know, attended or whatever the right word is, you know, theme parks in Asia. And so that is actually a pretty big driver for them, certainly from a family point of view. And, you know, I think it's not uncommon where you get mom and the kids going to the theme park and maybe dad's in at the casino and it works.
Yes, a winning combination there. Much better than the original MGM on the Las Vegas Strip where they had a theme park and didn't do so well. We're going to give this short shrift because we're running out of time here. But I wanted to talk about Japan. A.G. Burnett from the Gaming Control Board was on the program a while back and was talking about members of the Japanese Parliament coming to Nevada and talking to him about, you know, the rules and regulations for gaming. Who do you think is best positioned at this point in time, if you can say that, to gain one of these licenses in Japan?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of qualified operators. And, you know, we do know that Japan is intensely focusing and studying markets like Singapore. So obviously, you've got Sands and Genting there that will have a seat at the table. Then you've got, obviously, the U.S. operators like MGM and Wynn who will also have seats at the table. And, of course, the Chinese guys like Galaxy and SRAM and Macau also think, you know, hey, look, we should have a seat at the table, and they're focused on it. All of them are going to have a seat at the table. I think a lot is just going to come down to, you know, what are the partnership requirements?
I was going to ask you about that. It's important for them to partner with the Japanese company.
It feels like it, yeah. You know, so it feels like the Japanese government is going to want at least some component of Japanese ownership or partnership in these resorts. We don't know what that's going to be yet. So we're still waiting on the legislation to tell us not only partnership requirements, but tax requirements, and will VIP junkets be allowed, and will locals have to pay an entry fee? We don't know any of the pertinent details yet, and that's, you know, the time is getting short here.
What do you think, if we have about 30 seconds, if you were to compare Japan with another gaming market, which would be the closest?
That's really hard, but I mean, if you think about Singapore, because you're probably going to get a couple resorts in Japan. Obviously, Japan's a lot bigger than Singapore, but I think, you know, Singapore is a $5 billion market, and you can extrapolate that across a lot more people. You know, I think just given the same rules and all that, I think Singapore is the best model. But regardless, it suggests that Japan will be probably the number two market in the world, second only to Macau.
Second only to Macau.
Yes.
Las Vegas slips back again. But still, you know, when you look at the actual numbers, not so bad.
That's a good story.
Grant Govetson, so real pleasure to meet you, and I thoroughly enjoy your work. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
I'm Brad Seidner, and we're keeping the legacy alive here at the Reno Rodeo. Come be a part of the legacy.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employee safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
You can download podcasts of the show from iTunes free of charge. Just search Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.